that promise? Because I tell you, when God makes a promise, it's a promise. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, before I get into our preaching time, I want to take a moment to honor these two young men who at times we had doubts. But we have no more doubts because they've got the diplomas, they made it. And we're tickled, we're glad that they've graduated, and they both have going to go to college, and I'll let them tell you a little bit about all that. All right, Gage, Michael, come on up here. Give them a hand of applause. All right, Michael, why don't you have a seat over here just for a moment. Hello, Shorty. By the way, I've been here 31 years, and I've gone through many bodyguards. My next one, right here. He said he'd take on anybody but his mother. You ain't gonna deal with her, are you? That's right. All right. That's right. I don't want to do that. All right. So now, where are we gonna go to school at? Now,
Indiana Southeast.
Indiana Southeast. And what do you want to do?
Majoring in English and secondary education.
Because you want to do what?
Be a high school teacher.
High school English teacher, huh? Well, listen, this is not enough money to pay for your college. This is not even enough money to buy you lunch. But it's just to let you know that we love you, we're proud of you, this is your church home, we've seen you grow up here, and Gage, you're the man, buddy. Give him a hand of applause. More than a village. When this family moved next door to Monica and I, when we lived in Spencer County, he was, I don't know, fourth grade. Well, he was a snot, that's all I was. he was just a snot. Don't take off on you.
Well,
come on, we're going to rip it to
him. Sunday school class this morning, and I expected to meet him eye level, and I went, Gage, come on in. And I told the children in my Sunday school class, little Kaylee and Addie, I said, I had him when he was your age and your height, and I had his mother, Julie, when she was 9 years old when we came here 31 years ago. So these are two good men here. Michael, there aren't enough words to say about Michael. He's my chess buddy. He's the only one I know that plays chess with me. And we did magic tricks together with him growing up. He came over and would keep me company, work in the yard with me. When I went through cancer, he and his parents that are salt of the earth, they are living proof, not all angels have wings, brought food
we're
over.
We're talking about the kindred family.
Yes, we're talking about the kindred family. Brought food over, prayed for me. Got me through some dark days in my life, Roger too, when he had surgery. I've seen him grow up since he was truly 4 years, and we loved him from the moment we met him. And he's one of ours. He's family by choice, not just church family. But I even helped teach him to drive a little bit. In my car.
He's a teacher's car.
I can't say enough about Michael and Gage. They're wonderful young men. They are living proof of the foundation of having Sunday school in their life, a church family in their life. Gage comes from a wonderful family. Felicia, Bill, Julie, wonderful family. So does Michael. And let me tell you, they're getting ready to go out into this old wicked world. And the world will pull at them and try to sway them. You've heard of the song by the Martins, don't go left, don't go right. Keep your eyes focused. Keep Jesus in front of you. You know, doors of success swing on small hinges, but the foundation of a person's life, carry your name with you your whole life, good or bad. Both these young men have wonderful names. Their families have wonderful names. You're charged to put Christ in your life first, every decision you make. Keep your family name honorable. best person, all that you do, but he will honor your life in return. And I'm so proud of both of you. Congratulations.
All right, well, you get to be a little sweet. Now, let me ask you a serious question here. Okay, you've got all the nonsense out there. Okay. Now, where are you going to go to school?
Campbellsville.
Campbellsville?
Yeah.
You know how expensive it is to go to Campbellsville?
I do.
All right, but you did get a little bit of a scholarship because of what?
Bowling and then school.
Academics?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, you had any idea what you want to do once you got out of college?
Nope.
Not come back home.
Your mother sets a joke, students. All right, these are two great men. Give them a hand of applause. All right, good deal. Now remember, these families are wanting to feed you, and they've got it all catered downstairs. Everything's decorated for these two young men, and they want you to come down and enjoy having dinner on them. To celebrate the accomplishments of these two young men, so we give you the invite to do that. All right, good to see everybody. Before I get started just a little bit here, a couple things that I want to touch base with. Miss Ashley is not doing very well, and she is still struggling very, very, very much. And I know that her mom, who was faithful here, her stepdad, who's faithful here, would really love it if you would really have some real special prayer for her. Having a hard time putting weight on, lost a lot of weight. But this is a fighter. This kid is a fighter. But she needs a special prayer today, and Judy needs special prayer today, and I know that you would do that. This is good, good family, good people. Give them a hand of applause. We're going to continue on our study into the Gospel of John. So, what I love about the Gospel of John, compared to the other Gospels, is John has a way of pointing out different individual lives that Jesus touches. Jesus loves to be one-on-one with everyone. He loves to be able to give us time. And Jesus loves every one of us. He knows us by name, knows us who we are, knows how many hairs is on our head. He truly loves his people. Now, in every situation of life, we have people, including ourselves, who get away from God. We have people, including ourselves, who sin and rebel against God. And yet, Jesus has a way of coming around to our lives and touching us, even when we're on the very bottom, to lift us up. This is a situation where Jesus, again, has a lady thrown basically at his feet. And these men were condemning her. And let's see exactly what Jesus does and how he acts. All right, here we go. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. Jesus is the great teacher. He loved to teach. And people would come and would listen to him. He would gather at the temple, gather at the church, if you will. And they would come, and they would listen to him, and he would teach them. But this day would be just a little different. And the scribes and the Pharisees, which were the law people, if you will, the attorneys, if you will, of the Jewish people. The scribes and the Pharisees bring a woman taken in adultery, and having set her in the midst, okay, go ahead, get her. They said unto him, Teacher. Now, I want you to see how they say this, because they say it very sarcastically. A teacher. Didn't call him Messiah. didn't call him Christ, didn't call him Savior, called him teacher. Teacher, this woman, this person, has been taken in adultery in the very act. We went and caught her in the very act of prostitution. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say we should do with her? See, lawyers are very good at how they ask a question. Most of them, when they ask, and believe me, we know several of them, good guys. Some of them are Christian men. But they don't, a good lawyer will never ask a question that they don't already know the answer to. You understand that? They're very good. So they said, hey, we've caught this lady in the very act of adultery. What do you think we ought to do with her? Because they know the law. You with me so far? They know the law. They're trying to trick Jesus. They just don't know who they're messing with. Here we go. And this they said, trying him, that they might have where to accuse him. Because they're setting him up. That any way he answers it, it's not going to help his case at all. Just like this. If I say to Chris, have you stopped beating Olivia? Any way he answers that, it don't make any difference. If he says, yes, I've stopped, he's saying, yes, I used to. If he says no, it means he's continuing to do it. See how I asked that? Oh, I know attorneys. Oh, yeah. They're going to ask you a question in a way that no matter how you answer it, they're going to take you to a place you don't want to go. That's what they're doing to Jesus here. See, they're trying to set him up here. And this is what's so great. It says, that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. I had a group of ministers back when I was in seminary. We sat one whole afternoon debated on what he wrote on this ground. Believe me, when you get a group of preachers together, you can find all kinds of ideas. Some said, well, he thinks they were writing down all of their sins, these lawyers that were accusing him. Or he was still continuing to teach and wouldn't pay any attention to him. Because that's how you teach. You know, you write stuff on chalkboard. You know, didn't have chalkboard, so you write in the sand or you write in the dirt. Keep that in mind. But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. They won't leave him alone. He's writing them the same. And they're like, will you quit writing? We're asking you a question. We're asking you a point blank question, teacher. The law says we should stone her. What do you think we are to do with her? Quit writing and answer the question. Okay, I'll answer it. I want you to look here what he says here. He's going to answer the question. And they heard it, went out, And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he, now we're dealing with men, he, that is without sin among you, then go ahead and throw the stone. That's fine. Go ahead and stone her. Now, here's what he's saying. More than likely, this lady, was she a sinner? Yes. Caught in the act? Yes. But more than likely, she's probably done the same thing with this group of attorneys. So he's saying, hey, since you guys are all so holy and perfect, fine with me. Go ahead, pick up your stones, and kill the lady. If you've never sinned yourself. Did I read that right? Pretty sharp. He said, okay, then let's follow the law. Well, let's do it this way. Since you're so holy and mighty, if you've never sinned, you take up the stone and you throw it at her. Kill her. Okay, Ginger, here we go. Now look here. And again he stooped down. And with his finger, he goes back to teaching. Here's one thing about Jesus, and I want you to really see this. What's most important to Jesus is to be able to teach. He is not for one second going to let this group of men disrupt what he's all about. He's not about that. He is not going to let anything get in his way of what he's going to do. He's not going to let anything stop him from what's important to him. It wasn't important that this lady be condemned. What was important is that he taught love and grace. Anybody can condemn. Huh? Can't you? We all love to judge. We can all do that. But to love and give grace, you got to dig a little deeper for that kind of stuff. To forgive, you got to get a little deeper. That kind of stuff. So he continues to write on the ground. And they, when they heard it, went out. One by one, starting with the oldest, working the way down to the youngest. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman. Where she was in the midst. I don't know how many group of men. 5, 10, 15, 30. One by one, they turned around, dropped their stones, and walked away. Now, this is where this is going to get really important. Now, it's just Jesus and this lady. And I want you to see how he handles this. Because this lady was called in the act. Jesus never defends that. But how does he handle this lady caught in the very act? Jesus lifted up himself and said unto her, woman, where do y'all go? Be not one of them is still standing here next to you to condemn you? And she said, no man, Lord. See where it says Lord there? You see that? She knew who she was in the presence of. No man, Lord. Jesus said, some of the most important words you'll ever hear in the Bible. What's it say? Neither do I condemn them. This woman was called in the very act. But he wasn't concerned about her past. He was concerned about what? Her future. Big difference. He said, neither do I condemn them. Go thy way, and henceforth sin no more. Now that's the King James way of saying, change your ways, change your life. I have no doubt in my mind, she walked away. I knew her story. This close. Being killed. This close from being killed by a group of heartless men. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He broke any laws. He just said, before you get into this condemning, judging, ruling, you keep it right in your thing. You've never done nothing wrong, then you sit in judgment.
you have that you still embrace.
This woman was either going to be condemned or she was going to feel grace. This is the difference, folks, between Jesus and the world. Because the world will condemn you faster than you can blink your eye. They're just waiting for you to mess up. They're just waiting for you to do something wrong. Just waiting for you to say something wrong. Just waiting for you. But Jesus is not that way. Jesus is willing to forgive you. And he is willing to love you. And he's willing to give you some grace. But understand one thing. On this side of the rapture, we're dealing with grace. We're in a grace time in history. Everything, and Jan and I were talking about this morning, coming here. Everything in the Bible has been fulfilled. Jesus could come any moment. And I say, let him come. But I guarantee you, I've got some family. You've got some family that are no more ready to see Jesus come in the clouds than a monkey in the air. You know it now. We need to make sure that our people see Jesus in us. Now, obviously, you can't force people. You know, it's not all about forcing somebody to do something. But we can sure live that in front of them, that they can see that there's a change in us. That there's something in us that means something. Because all of us on some level is like this lady. Really it is. Yeah, not all of us are prostitutes, but we all can slap Jesus around and some. We can all disobey God. Because he's sin is sin in the eyes of God. No matter what it is. But when we understand this one thing, that we live under grace, and if we're willing to accept that grace, and believe me, it is amazing. That's why they call the song Amazing Grace. And the reason it's amazing is because you don't deserve it. You do not deserve it, and neither do I. But it's given to us because it's amazing, and it comes as a gift from Jesus Christ. And maybe we don't deserve it, but he's willing to give it to us if we're willing to live for him, accept him, and to be a part of his family. But the choice is always yours. There's always going to be people that's going to accuse you. You're never going to get away from that. But I say this all the time. Thank God I don't answer to other people. Thank God I answer to Jesus. Because Jesus will give me grace when no one else will. But in that, if I leave this old world and I've not accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, grace stops. The next phase of life is called judgment. Believe me, you do not want to face God's judgment outside of grace. You don't want that. You do not want that. You want to face God with his amazing grace and his forgiveness. One way or the other, it's either you accept Jesus or you deny him. You accept his grace or you're under his judgment. And either way is bad if you don't understand it. Because if you don't understand grace, what it's all about, you've missed the mark. And even if you don't understand judgment, it don't make any difference. You're going to be held accountable. So, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's God's word. This lady here called in the very act. Come this close to dying, but because she was under the protection of Jesus, she ended up getting eternal life. And that same grace of love and protection is here for you if you'll accept it, if you'll believe it. And everybody said,
amen.
Stand with me, please. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Father, in the most precious and holy name of Jesus, we've heard your word. And Father, we need your grace this hour. Father, number one, if there be someone here today that is lost and has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, this is the day of salvation. No one is promised tomorrow. No one. Today is the day of salvation. Come, let me have a word with you. Just say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. That's all you have to do. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we're going to welcome you to our church. Whatever is in your heart, we pray for that today. You need a quiet time at this altar to pray for someone, or pray for yourself, you come and take this quiet moment for yourself. But Jesus is here. And his grace is here as well. Father, bless these moments. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Stephanie, what's our
hymn? We're going to sing a song called "The Law."
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth.